The most dangerous thing in a medical clinic isn't, a highly contagious virus or a sudden surgical complication. It's actually an empty shelf.
Yeah, 100%.
Imagine a scenario where a patient's vitals are dropping and a nurse reaches into the supply cabinet for a very specific critical gauge of syringe, and their hand just grasps empty air.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Right. In that fraction of a second, the entire pristine, perfectly controlled illusion of modern healthcare just completely collapses.
It really does. It is a terrifying reality for practitioners because we walk into these incredibly sterile, highly organized environments as patients, and we just assume
You
things.
assume they have it all together.
Exactly. We assume that behind the reception desk, the logistics are just running with military precision. But the actual day-to-day reality in the back offices and like supply closets of most small clinics is often just a state of frantic, deeply hidden chaos.
And that hidden chaos is exactly what we are getting into today. Welcome to this deep dive, where we are looking at the invisible scaffolding that actually keeps a medical clinic functioning.
It's a really great topic.
We are unpacking a stack of source materials today, so feature sets, foundational documents, and operational blueprints for a highly specific piece of technology called AnesTech ClinicOS.
Right, the ClinicOS system.
Yeah, it is a stock management software platform custom built for small UK clinics. Now, for you listening right now, even if you don't run a medical clinic, stick with us.
Yeah, definitely stick around.
Because even if you are just sitting in traffic on your way to a corporate office, this deep dive is a masterclass in how incredibly frustrating niche problems like supply chain bottlenecks or medical waste can be solved.
And administrative panic too, honestly.
Yes, exactly. All of that can be solved with highly targeted systems.
Oh.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the single most critical fact from our source material isn't a software feature at all.
No, it's really not.
It is the origin story of the company itself. AnesTech ClinicOS wasn't built by a group of, Silicon Valley developers looking for a market to disrupt, which is usually the case.
Right.
It was designed by an operating department practitioner.
Which is a detail that completely changes how we should evaluate this software, I think.
How so?
Well, an operating department practitioner, or an ODP for anyone outside the UK medical system, is a highly specialized clinical role.
Okay.
They are essentially the frontline logistics and patient care masters of the surgical theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they manage the anesthetic equipment, the surgical instruments, and the recovery environment right alongside the surgeons.
So they are actually in the room during all of this.
Exactly. They are the ones who actually have to reach for that syringe in a high-stakes moment.
That makes so much sense. It is remarkably rare to find enterprise or operational technology that is actually built from the ground up by the end user.
Very rare.
It's like having a high-performance commercial kitchen designed by a veteran executive chef rather than an architect who has never cooked a meal in their life.
Oh, that's a perfect analogy.
Right. The architect is going to make the kitchen look stunning on a blueprint. But the chef.
The chef knows exactly where the knives need to be placed so you don't trip over the prep cook.
Exactly. When the Friday night dinner rush hits, you need functionality, not just a pretty blueprint.
Yeah.
But how does that frontline medical background actually manifest in the software's overarching design? Like, does it just mean the buttons are bigger?
What's fascinating here is that the frontline background forces the software to completely abandon abstract tech theory in favor of raw operational survival.
Operational survival, I like that phrase.
Yeah, because an architect, following your analogy, might design a clinic management system focused on like beautiful data visualizations for the stakeholders or investors.
Sure, pie charts and graphs and stuff.
Right, but an ODP knows that running out of sterile saline isn't an administrative inconvenience that you just review at the end of the month.
It's an immediate crisis.
It halts patient care immediately. The patient waits, the schedule blows up, the entire clinic's stress level skyrockets.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So the design of ClinicOS directly reflects the urgent priorities of a clinic floor. It prioritizes extreme, immediate visibility over absolutely everything else.
Because an ODP understands that a missing item isn't just a data error on a spreadsheet, it's a physiological risk to the patient on the table.
Precisely.
So they wouldn't just build a standard database, they had to build a system that maps the actual physical reality of the clinic.
You hit the nail on the head. You can always tell what a software creator valued most by looking at what the system makes easiest to do.
Right, the path of least resistance.
In this case, the core inventory engine is built around real-time location and status, not just static quantity.
Which leads us to look at how it actually tracks this stuff, because the source materials boast about real-time stock tracking that allows a clinic manager to see what is on, quote, every shelf in every room at any given moment.
Yeah, the granularity is impressive.
It includes low stock and expiry alerts, and it centralizes supplier records and purchase histories.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I want to push back on the necessity of this for a moment.
Sure, go ahead.
If I am running a small three-person dental practice or a boutique dermatology clinic, couldn't I just use a shared spreadsheet?
People definitely try to.
Right. Like, Google Sheets is free. Excel is already on the computer. Why do I need to buy a dedicated operating system just to count boxes of bandages and local anesthetic?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, it comes down to the fundamental difference between static data and active management.
Okay, unpack that for me.
Using a spreadsheet for medical inventory is essentially like trying to drive a car down a busy highway by looking at a map drawn yesterday.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
It tells you where things were, not where the traffic is right now. A spreadsheet is essentially just a dumb ledger.
Because it only knows what you tell it when you tell it.
Exactly. And more importantly, it doesn't do anything actively with that information.
Like, it won't warn you about things.
Right. A spreadsheet absolutely will not send a push notification to a clinic manager on a Tuesday afternoon warning them that a highly expensive batch of specialized sutures is going to expire in 14 days.
It just sits there until you look at it.
Yeah, and it doesn't track physical movement either. If a nurse takes a box of supplies from the main storage room and moves it into the minor surgery suite, the spreadsheet doesn't know that room's inventory just changed.
But wait, how does ClinicOS actually know that? Because this is where healthcare tech usually falls apart, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Software isn't magic. For the system to know a box of gloves moved from room A to room B, a human being still has to tell it, right? Doesn't that just create a massive data entry burden on the already exhausted staff?
That is the brilliant friction point, and it's honestly why the ODP background matters so much here.
Okay, how so?
Well, a disconnected developer would put a complex data entry screen on a desktop computer at the reception desk, meaning the nurse has to remember to log the movement an hour later when they finally have a free second.
Which they'll never do.
Never. ClinicOS utilizes point-of-use mechanics instead.
Point-of-use.
Yeah, so you put a standard, cheap tablet in the supply room, or you utilize barcode scanning via mobile devices.
Oh, I see.
The nurse grabs the item, does a half-second scan or tap, and walks out.
So it's integrated into the physical action of taking the item.
Exactly. By forcing that micro-interaction at the exact point of use, the software instantly updates the burn rate algorithm in the background.
So active management means the system is constantly calculating how fast you're using an item.
Yes, monitoring its shelf life and alerting the humans before a crisis occurs.
So it isn't just a ledger. You're essentially hiring a digital inventory manager that runs all the math in the background so the clinical staff doesn't have to.
That's a great way to summarize it.
That makes sense for daily survival.
Yep.
But tracking things in real time is just about getting through today's patient load. What a clinic does with all that gathered data is how they secure their tomorrow.
Definitely. It's about future-proofing.
Which brings us to the analytical tools in the source material, specifically waste forecasting and inspections. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
The documentation specifically highlights audit-ready compliance. It maintains automated usage logs, expiration alerts, and comprehensive audit trails.
It's huge for peace of mind.
It's pitched as having a digital accountant constantly preparing you for a surprise tax audit, but for medical supplies.
That's pretty accurate.
But hold on, isn't audit ready just a tech buzzword for, you know, we generate a lot of PDF reports?
It usually is, yeah.
Right. In my experience with corporate software, generating the final report isn't the hard part. Ensuring the data entered by exhausted staff is actually accurate is the hard part.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. How does this system solve the human error element?
Well, this raises an important question about the systemic failures of modern healthcare compliance. You are entirely right that a PDF generator is useless if the data is garbage.
Yeah, if nobody scanned the box, the report is wrong.
But remember the point of use tracking we just talked about.
The half-second scan?
Right. Because the system forces those micro-interactions in real-time scanning an item the moment it is taken, or the moment it is thrown in the biohazard bin because it expired, the audit trail builds itself organically.
I get it.
You aren't asking a nurse at the end of a chaotic 12-hour shift to sit down and manually remember every single batch number of every medication they used that day.
Because asking a human brain to do that accurately is basically impossible.
It is impossible.
Yeah.
And if you've never been through a medical clinic inspection, it is hard to overstate the psychological weight and the operational disruption of that event.
I can only imagine it's incredibly stressful.
It's brutal. When a clinic doesn't have an automated, organically built audit trail, preparing for an inspection means digging through physical binders, cross-referencing paper invoices with half-empty supply closets.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is, and you're just praying someone didn't forget to log a disposed batch of expired medication 3 months ago.
Which means all your highly trained clinical talent, your nurses, your doctors, your clinic managers, they are suddenly pulled away from patient care to do administrative forensics.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Hospital and clinic compliance audits paradoxically cause worse patient care in the short term because they drain clinical resources.
That is such a wild irony.
Right. Every hour a clinician spends counting boxes to reconstruct a usage log is an hour they aren't looking at a patient.
So by automating the audit trails at the point of use, the software removes this massive ambient anxiety.
Precisely. If an inspector walks in, the system already has the receipts, the logs, and the exact disposal dates ready to go.
And I imagine that ties directly into the waste reports too.
Absolutely, it does.
Because medical waste isn't like office waste. If I buy too many sticky notes for the office, they just sit in a drawer for a decade. Who cares?
Right, they don't go bad.
But if a clinic buys too many specialized biological materials, they expire.
Yeah.
And they legally have to throw them away. That is literally throwing profit into a biohazard bin.
And a biohazard disposal itself costs money.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so you are paying to buy it and you're paying to throw it away.
Double hit.
Spotting a trend that you consistently throw out, say, 20% of your sterile gloves or local anesthetic because they age out before you use them, well, that allows you to forecast better.
It gives you actual visibility into your burn rate.
Right. So you order smarter, you lower your overhead, and you instantly improve a small clinic's notoriously tight profit margins.
Okay. So we've established that automating this tedious stock management frees up the clinic's human resources. You save time, you protect your profit margins, you survive audits.
All very good things.
Yes. But how do you actually manage the humans themselves? Because interestingly, the source materials show Anestec built a bridge for that as well, offering a staff scheduling add-on for an additional monthly fee.
Which, when I first reviewed the materials, seemed like a very strange pivot for an inventory management platform.
Right. Let's look at the human element here, because it includes a smart roster builder, staff profiles, certification tracking, and shift handover notes.
Quite a robust set of features.
So what does this all mean? Why does a software system dedicated to counting syringes suddenly care about shift handovers?
Oh.
Or whether Nurse Sarah renewed her CPR certification?
It's a fair question.
Are they stretching themselves too thin? Like, this spells like classic feature creep, where a startup tries to be an inventory tracker and a full-blown HR platform at the same time and ends up doing both poorly.
On the surface, I completely agree. It looks exactly like feature creep.
Good.
But if you analyze it through the lens of that frontline ODP founder we talked about earlier, it is actually deeply logical.
How so?
It represents the intersection of the tool and the talent.
The tool and the talent. Okay.
Right. A clinic needs both the physical supplies and the legally qualified human beings to operate those supplies.
Okay. Walk me through that. How do those two things actually overlap in the software?
Well, imagine a small clinic has a perfectly stocked emergency crash cart.
Okay, got it.
The ClinicOS inventory engine confirms that the latest defibrillator is charged, the adrenaline is in date, the intubation tubes are fully stocked.
This is like a win.
That is great. But that perfectly stocked cart is completely useless and potentially a massive legal liability if the specific staff member assigned to that room during the night shift isn't actually certified to use it.
Oh, wow. Oh, I hadn't connected those dots at all.
It's a critical point of failure.
You can have all the right equipment, but if the roster doesn't match the equipment's requirements, you're still in a crisis.
Precisely. By offering skills and certification tracking alongside medical equipment management, the software is ensuring that the right skills are always matched with the right tools.
That is incredibly smart.
It won't just tell you that you have the equipment. It helps ensure you have the personnel legally allowed to deploy it.
Making the inventory actually usable.
Exactly. And then consider those shift handover notes the system includes.
Shift handovers are a huge point of failure in medicine, right? I've heard that before.
Oh, they are notoriously dangerous. Handovers are usually when communication breaks down.
Because everyone's tired.
Exactly. That is when an exhausted day shift nurse forgets to mention to the incoming night shift nurse that room 3 is entirely out of a specific gauge of IV needle.
And then the night nurse has an emergency and reaches for it.
And it's not there. But by building handover notes directly into the system that already tracks the inventory, the next shift walks in with total situational awareness.
So the system just tells them.
Right. The system can say, here are your patients, here are your notes. And by the way, the system knows room 3 is low on IV needles, so grab some from main storage before you start your rounds.
It creates a fully closed loop system.
Exactly. A closed loop.
The inventory alerts the staff. The staff manages the inventory via their roster, and the handovers ensure continuity across time.
It's a highly elegant workflow when you view it purely through the lens of patient safety rather than just viewing it as a tech product.
But, you know, all of this functionality sounds heavy.
It is robust, yes.
Robust?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
But potentially overwhelming for a small business to actually adopt. Which leads us to the real-world friction of this entire deep dive.
Yeah.
How difficult is this software to actually implement?
Implementation.
Yeah.
The adoption barrier is the graveyard of healthcare IT.
Oh, I believe it.
You can build the most elegant software in the world, but if it requires a clinic to stop working for 2 weeks to install it, it will fail.
And healthcare IT rollouts are historically disastrous, right?
Yeah.
We've all read the headlines about massive hospital networks spending millions on new software, only to have the nurses hate it and patient wait times double during the transition.
It happens all the time.
But the Anestec materials boast a fast setup. They claim clinics can simply import their existing stock data and be up and running in, quote, days, not months.
That's a huge claim.
Right. And this is a company operating out of 2 Gordon Court, St. John Terrace Road, down in Redhill, UK, copyright 2026. This isn't theoretical vaporware. This is a modern, real-world operation making an incredibly bold claim about implementation speed.
Very bold.
But how does a clinic actually go from a messy spreadsheet to a real-time OS in just days?
Well, it requires completely bypassing the legacy silos that usually plague healthcare tech.
Legacy silos, what do you mean?
Large IT rollouts usually fail because they require custom coding to make proprietary databases talk to each other.
Oh, right. All the back-end stuff.
Yeah. What Anestec seems to be doing here with their fast setup is relying on simple, universal data formats, like a basic CSV data import.
So if a clinic manager has that dumb static Excel spreadsheet we talked about earlier, they don't have to manually type thousands of items into the new system one by one.
Exactly. They map the columns from their spreadsheet, upload it into ClinicOS, and the software populates the initial database.
Oh, that saves so much time.
From there, it's really just about physically placing the tablets or scanners in the rooms and training the staff on that half-second point-of-view scan.
Which sounds pretty intuitive.
It is. And you have to understand, for small clinics, this days-not-months promise isn't just a nice perk for the marketing brochure.
No.
No, it is a fundamental requirement for survival.
Because a massive hospital network can absorb a chaotic 6-month transition. They can bring in highly paid consultants and shuffle staffing around to cover the downtime.
Exactly. They have the padding. A small clinic cannot.
They're too lean.
Right. If setting up new inventory software takes the lead nurse or the clinic manager away from their actual duties for a month, the clinic financially collapses.
Wow.
If the tech requires a dedicated server rack and an on-site IT guy, they won't buy it. The friction of adopting the new technology has to be lower than the familiar, painful friction of sticking with their broken spreadsheet.
Yeah, if it doesn't work right out of the box, they will just go back to the spreadsheet despite knowing how much money and time they are losing.
Humans will always regress to what's familiar if the new thing is too hard.
Which really highlights how delicate the ecosystem of small-scale healthcare actually is. This has been such a revealing look at the mechanics of an environment we all just blindly trust when we walk through those clinic doors.
It really is eye-opening.
So let's distill the key takeaways from the sources we've unpacked today. Ultimately, Anestec ClinicOS seems to succeed because it is a perfect translation of lived experience into digital architecture.
Perfectly said.
It takes frontline, battle-tested medical experience, the hypervigilant insights of an operating department practitioner, and build solutions around the reality of human behavior.
Right.
By focusing on point-of-use real-time tracking, ruthless waste reduction, automated audit trails to eliminate data entry errors, and integrating staff rostering to match talent with tools, it attacks the exact hyper-specific pain points of small clinics.
And it does it without overcomplicating things. It doesn't try to be a massive enterprise solution for a 1,000-bed hospital.
It knows its lane.
Yes, it specifically solves the physical reality of running a small, high-stakes environment where literally nobody has time for administrative busy work.
And for you listening, I think this brings up a really fascinating mirror to hold up to your own life and your own profession. Think about the digital tools, the internal apps, the workflow systems you use every single day at your job.
We all have them.
Are they actually designed by the people who have to click the buttons and do the heavy lifting?
Mm-hmm.
Or were they handed down by disconnected developers and executives who haven't spent a single day in the trenches of your industry?
It's usually the latter.
Because the difference in usability, as we've seen here, is staggering.
It completely changes the fundamental DNA of the software, which leaves us with something really crucial to consider moving forward.
Oh, what's that?
Well, if a piece of software designed by a single frontline practitioner can streamline small clinic logistics this efficiently and remove this much ambient anxiety from the staff,
right,
what would happen if we fundamentally changed the rules of tech development across the board?
That's a huge thought.
What if we mandated that all massive enterprise healthcare systems had to be designed and greenlit directly by the nurses and doctors who use them, rather than by tech executives sitting in boardrooms?
Wow.
Could a simple shift in who holds the pen actually fix the massive administrative burnout currently collapsing our modern healthcare system?
It certainly makes you wonder how many systemic problems could be solved just by listening to the people actually doing the work. The next time you sit in that pristine, perfectly calm clinic waiting room, take a closer look at the receptionist clicking away behind the desk.
It might just change your perspective.
The illusion of control might just be real, as long as they have the right invisible scaffolding holding it all together.